Good evening. It's good to be here tonight. We're missing quite a few people tonight. I know our young people are away, and several of the parents have gone to be with them as well tonight. But in spite of our lack in number, the singing was beautiful tonight, and it's already good to have been here. If we have done nothing but sing and heard God's word read and prayed like we have, it's been well worth our time and effort. We appreciate you for being here tonight. We are blessed again to have folks who are visiting with us, and I want you to know how grateful we are to have you. We don't just say that, but we truly mean it. I see the foal sitting back there. Am I allowed to say anything about what I read on Facebook? I should have asked before church, but I decided to ask publicly because I figured it'd be okay. You know, I love what the foals did. I accidentally overheard a conversation. They received, from what I understand, an envelope that the doctor probably wrote on about the child they were going to have. Is it going to be a boy? Is it going to be a girl? And I love this side. They sealed it up in an envelope. Neither one of them knew. And they had all their family down today, and they got a cake and had a party and opened it up. Man, I thought we should have done that at church. I thought that'd be great. You know, I think we ought to start doing that, don't y'all? You know, everybody that's going to have a baby, stuff it in an envelope, we'll announce it at church. We'll just open the envelope, you know, like the Grammy Awards. But I just thought that was a fantastic idea. But it's going to be a boy. And I'll ask about names after church and so forth. But congratulations to them once again. I think all of us tonight need to be a lot more thankful than we are that God has given us the Bible. We need to realize that if God did not give us this book, the Bible, then it had to come from man. And yet, it's beyond comprehension that man, not supernaturally aided, somehow could have produced this book, the Bible. Tonight, I want you to take your Bible in your hands, and I want you to notice that Bible. I want you to look at that Bible. And as you look at this book, I want you to understand that this book was written by the very hand that created you. And what a marvelous book the Bible is. There's been some acrostics given using the letters that spell Bible, and one of them that I remember is Bible stands for basic information before leaving earth. I think that says a great deal about what the Bible is. And I want us tonight to think about some reasons why God, in fact, gave us the Bible. I want us to think about some reasons why we have this book and why we ought to be thankful for this book. When you stop and think about how the Bible was written by 40 different men over a period of 600 years, and you think about how that in spite of so many different men from so many different backgrounds, from many different places and different periods of time, writing God's Word by inspiration, and yet it is together a united book with no contradictions whatsoever. It is a flawless book. It is God's Word. And when you consider all the efforts throughout history that have been put forth to try to destroy the Bible, there have been those that have given every effort they can to make sure the Bible ceases to exist. And yet we know the Bible says about itself that the word of the Lord endures forever. And so why is that the case tonight? Why did God give us the Bible? Well, I want to suggest a few reasons tonight in your hearing. And I hope tonight that these things will allow you to have an even greater appreciation for the Bible and the fact that you are able to open up the Bible and read the words of God for yourself. Because you see, that's a privilege. There have been millions of people in days past and gone who've never owned a copy of God's Word. But thankfully, through His providence, we today have that book. I want to suggest, first of all, tonight that God gave us the Bible to reveal Himself to us. We need to understand that the Bible is a permanent record of God's revelation of Himself to mankind. Now, if we didn't have the Bible, I think it would be possible for us to somehow conclude that there's some superior force, perhaps a superior being out there somewhere. I think we could come to that conclusion, but without the Bible, we would know absolutely nothing about that superior force, that superior being. Without the Bible, we would not know the attributes of that superior being. But because we have the Word of God, because God has made Himself known to us, we know about His omniscience and His omnipotence. We know about His omnipresence and His love and His grace and His mercy. The fact that He loves us and cares for us. We know about the goodness of God, as Romans 11:22 talks about, as well as the severity of God. We know what God has revealed Himself to us about His character. And we need to be thankful that the Bible tells us about our great God. There was an individual one time that denied the information that was given about God in the Bible. And somebody asked this particular man, well, where did you get your concept of God in the first place? You know, without the Bible, you know, what concept of God would we possibly have? Just like in our reading tonight, all Scripture is God breathed and it's profitable. God gave us the Word so that we might know who God is. So that we might know of His love and His grace and the story of redemption. And we need to be thankful for that. May I suggest in the next place tonight that God gave us the Bible in order to give us a lasting picture of Jesus Christ. Now, what would we know about Christ if it weren't for the Bible? Well, we probably could go back to historical documents, and we might deduce the fact that, you know, this was a man in history that lived at one time and perhaps exerted an influence on folks of his generation. But without the Bible, we basically would know very little about Jesus Christ and who He was. Without the Bible, we would not know about the fact that God came in human form, that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, as had been prophesied hundreds of years before. Without the Bible, we would not know that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, that He lived a sinless life in order to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Without the Bible, we would not know of the greatest love story ever written in the history of mankind. The love of God demonstrated in divinity coming to this earth and Jesus giving Himself on the cross as that perfect sacrifice for our sins. You see, without the Bible, we would not know about Jesus Christ. You know, men who were mostly unlearned and ignorant, through inspiration, they gave us a record of a man who was the world's greatest teacher and who taught perfectly the world's greatest truths. We need to be thankful for the Bible because it tells about God's only begotten Son. In the words of the Apostle John, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, God gave us the Bible so that we might know about Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. I think another reason why God revealed to us his word is because he wanted to reveal man to himself. Now, whenever we look at God's word and we read that word, it's like looking into a mirror, spiritually speaking. We remember the words of James chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, where James emphasized how we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. That's worthless. Just hearing God's word and not practicing God's word is useless. And then James goes on to say that if one is a hearer of the word and not a practicer of the word, not a doer of the word, he's like a man beholding himself in a natural glass or a mirror. And that individual, when he looks in the mirror, as perhaps you and I did this morning when we got up, we see changes we need to make. We notice the flaws that we have, and we make the necessary changes as we look in the mirror so that we might be more presentable when we go out in public. Well, the Bible's that way. The Bible lets us know exactly who we are and what we are spiritually, and there are changes we see we need to make. We see the perfect standard. We see how we need to live and the attitude we need to possess. And we look in God's word as our mirror and we endeavor to make those changes so that we might be true to that word. You know, that's why a lot of people today hate the Bible. That's why many people today despise the Bible. Many people see themselves as they are and then they see themselves as they should be. And they can't stand the picture. And so they don't change. They leave the Bible. They just turn their back on it. I think about, on one occasion, a heathen Chinese who gave his Bible back to a missionary. The missionary was somewhat stunned. He said, "Why did you give this Bible back to me? You've never had one before." He said, "I don't like it. Every time I read it, it kicks me." You see, God gave us the Bible to reveal man to himself so that we might have that perfect standard by which we need to follow and live. But let me also suggest tonight that God also gave us the Bible to reveal man to man. You know, when we read the Bible, we look back at some of those great characters that all of us respect, people that are just like us, live like us, people with the same kind of faults, the same kind of problems and everyday difficulties that we faced, and we learn from their mistakes. The Bible says whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, Romans 15 and verse 4. And so the Bible reveals man to man. When I see other people and I see the mistakes that they made in God's word, I learn from that. I learn to be more faithful to God, more trusting of God. When I think about Israel of old and how they murmured and complained, I learn to avoid certain sins in my life because I can read God's word about the pain and the destructive nature of sin, the consequences of sin. You see, the Bible gives us examples that we need to try to look at and consider as we live our lives each day. The Bible tells us how that we can get along better with one another. It tells us how that we can be better fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and co-workers and friends. The Bible reveals man to man. But then let me suggest tonight as well that God also gave us his word so that we might know how to be saved. Now, I realize tonight that we often, with the kids' sing class, we sing about the salvation hand. You know, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized in the water. And, you know, we call that the plan of salvation. And certainly I'm not disregarding that at all, because all of that is true. But God's plan for redeeming man goes all the way back to the very beginning. From the book of Genesis all the way through the Bible, the theme on every page of that glorious book is God's plan to redeem man through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In fact, the man is the plan when you get down to it. God's plan to send his perfect, sinless Son to give his life as a perfect sacrifice on our behalf. And the only way that we could possibly know how we can have eternal life is to look in the Bible. There's not going to be any visions today. There's not going to be someone that visits us in the middle of the night to tell us what to do to be saved. We're not going to have some kind of emotional experience by which we will somehow be able to conclude what God would have us to do in order to be saved. We need to realize that God has already given us everything that we need. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, God has given to us because He loves us. And we need to be thankful for God and what He's done so that we might know what we must do and how we must go about having access to the wonderful grace of God. You see, the Bible tells me what I must do to be saved. I wouldn't know what to do to be saved without God's Word. The Bible says in Jeremiah, it's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. I've got to have God's help in order to know what to do to be saved. And God, the Bible says, has spoken to us through His Son. Impersonal agency. God has revealed Himself through His Son, through the inspiration of those holy writers that have given us this book. The words of our Lord, the Bible says, their spirit, they are life. John 6, 63. And the Bible's the only place we can turn and find out what to do to be saved. Salvation is in Christ and no other. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And of course, we know that to be in Christ is to be in the church. And we can open up the New Testament and we can read about the church for which Jesus died. We read about how that church was organized. We read about how that church is to function. And we understand the importance of being a member of the New Testament church in order to be saved. The Bible reveals to us how to become a member of that church. We need to hearken to His Word and listen to what He says. We need to be convicted and we need to believe in that Word with all of our heart. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Just like those on the day of Pentecost, they were told to repent. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, they had to give their lives to the Lord. They had to change. They had to put away sin in their lives. We read about that good confession the eunuch made in Acts 8 and verse 37. That we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And just like those in Acts chapter 2 and all throughout the book of Acts, those that gladly received His Word were baptized. And they were added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Without the Bible, though, we would have absolutely no clue as to how to respond to God. We would have no hope of salvation. But a last reason, and quickly tonight, as we think about why God gave us the Bible. God gave us His Word to reveal to us the future. Well, I'm not talking about the stock market tomorrow and if it's going to go up or down. And I'm not talking about your doctor's visit that's going to take place in a month or, you know, what's going to happen down the road here in this life. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. But we do know many things about our eternal destiny, those things that God has revealed to us. We know that we are eternal beings. We know that we're going to live forever. And we know that there's two choices at the end of this life. One is eternal destruction. The other is eternal life. And the Bible is the roadmap, if you please, that will lead to eternal life. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. Matthew chapter 7, few there be that find it. If we submit our will to God's will, we have confidence in that word and its promises. We trust in God that He will save us when this life is over. And yet we're warned many times in God's Word, especially by Jesus Christ Himself, that if we reject His words, if we don't receive His words, John 12:48, then we're going to be judged by those words and one day we'll be condemned. You know, God loves us and He warns us about that terrible place called hell, an awful place, a place of fire and brimstone, place of darkness, a place of agonizing pain and suffering that will never, ever end. The Bible tells us about such a place. The Bible describes for us as well the beauties and grandeurs of heaven. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Heaven is going to be more beautiful and more wonderful than we can ever begin to imagine. But you see, it comes down to our choice. I make the decision for myself as to where I'm going to spend eternity. And God has let me know through His revelation about the consequences of the choices that I make. You know, I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful that God in His love has revealed Himself to us. The Bible says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And tonight we can have great confidence in its teachings. We have great hope in the future that it provides for us if we're faithful. Tonight, if you're subject to the invitation, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.